In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. We celebrate most specifically on this fourth Sunday of Advent the gift of love. But you know, as I consider our lovely Advent wreath there this morning, it's that pink candle that I want to reflect upon the most today. The pink candle set apart from the others. The ones that remind us of all the gifts of a Savior that we spoke of, that this one gift, this small three-letter word, embraces our life as people of faith. Joy. What a gift. What a gift to us in a world that, let's be quite honest, is so filled with many things that are quite the opposite of joy, right? Stress. Challenges. Work. Conflict, whether it be in the family, or in our professions, or the challenges and grief that we face of aging loved ones, or illnesses ourselves. So many things that face us in life are the opposite indeed of the joy we find in a Savior. But Mary in our scripture today, and yes, I would say Elizabeth, remind us that these are the gifts of Jesus. You hear it very early in the reading in verse 44 that I shared with us earlier. Elizabeth says this, "For as soon as I heard your greeting, the child in my womb," the child she was carrying, John the Baptist, who would be the forebearer for Jesus, "my soul and my child leaped for joy." Joy at the sound of a Savior coming. And then Mary says herself here in verse 47, she says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." In other words, she's saying amen to the words of Elizabeth. She's seconding the statement that Elizabeth made. I know joy because of the sound of a Savior coming. But now Mary says, "My soul, even me as the carrier of the Christ child, rejoices." Or in other words, knows joy. You see, friends, I find that is good news to me on my journey in life. When I'm faced with the challenges of getting that Christmas list done, right? We drove through Tupelo yesterday and you couldn't even get off the exit ramp. People trying to get to the shopping. And did you know that when some people are trying to buy gifts, they're not the most Christmas-spirited people? Did you know that? Sometimes they can be rude or a little pushy and take away your joy, right? Oh, but God reminds us that the gift of this season, more than anything else, through the gift of the Savior came down from heaven, we know in Him joy. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? Not only did God send His Son to be our Savior, to give us life, but that we may have life more abundantly and more joy in our journey in life. Now that applies to our everyday work and walk and school and in our profession, that we know joy more abundantly through our Lord. And perhaps, you know, we hear these words, this joy that Mary expresses, the mother of Jesus, today. And as we receive the words of this message, it may be tempting for us to think, but you know, my journey just isn't as simple as Mary's. You know, there's a lot of brokenness in my life. There's a lot of darkness and challenges. I don't get to walk around with Jesus in my inner circle like John the Baptist did, or Mary did, or Elizabeth, the mother of John. Be a lot easier for me to know more joy if I knew Jesus more closely in my life like Mary. But you see, when we examine Mary, the mother of Jesus, more closely, we find that she knew anything but an easy road to joy, right? When she received the word from the angel Gabriel, who came and said to Mary, "You are blessed. You're so blessed, Mary. You're going to get to have a baby out of wedlock." Wow. With friends like that, we don't need enemies. Mary could have had her first reaction. Because that wasn't a wonderful, high, holy calling in the first century world. In fact, she could have been stoned to death. Joseph could have disowned her. She could have been betrayed by all of her family, ostracized by her community. I'm sure she felt some of that. Some alienation. Some shunning. Some looking down upon those social stigmas that we all hope and strive to work against. But Mary embraced that even in her poverty, in the challenges that she knew, she embraced the call and the commission and, yes, the gift of carrying the Savior of the world. Not only did she embrace it, but Mary said, "I am blessed. No matter the challenges I face, no matter how dark, no matter how much depression, no matter how many perils that I face as a person of faith, I have something to offset those challenges. And that, my friends, is the joy of the Savior." You see, it wasn't because Mary had it so easy. Because Mary had something more substantive in her life to overcome the challenges. Mary embraced the Lord. Yes, physically, by carrying Him in her body, but also, I would say, and perhaps just as much, spiritually, by embracing Him as her Savior. See, that's the gift for us. Because we all, you know, I think about the words of Robin Roberts, who was in Memphis recently, the ABC News commentator, host of Good Morning America. She was doing a fundraising event for St. Jude. She reflected on how her life had been engulfed with cancer recently. And how she strived to not let those dark events, the peril that she faced, dictate her happiness, her joy. She said one thing that kept her centered most of all is that she always remembered that everybody has something. Everybody, in my words, has their junk in life, right? She said, "What helps me most is to remember that, you know, if everybody took their something and put it in a pile in the middle of the room and you saw what their something was and they saw what your something was and we all had a choice to pick up somebody else's something, more times than not, we'd take the chances with the something, the junk, the challenge that we have." See, everybody's got something. Mary the mother of Jesus, had something. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had challenges. But most of all, Mary, the mother of Jesus, embraced joy because she knew fully the Savior of the world. Friends, that's the gift of heaven. Joy for us as people of faith is not so much in the circumstances that we face. It's in the choices that we make to embrace more fully the giver of joy in every aspect of our life. You see, it's more than just coming to church, isn't it? On Sunday morning. It's more than just getting up and going to worship one day a week and investing 1 hour in your life of faith. Not to say that's bad. That's the beginning of our faith. It's in worship, right? But it would be somewhat like a person who goes and plays 9 holes of golf one day a week and then can't really understand why their game is not significantly improving. Sure, you're going to get a little better with that level of commitment. You're going to know some joy because that's the whole event, is to play the game. But to truly grow in the sport, you've got to invest into it, right? You've got to consider, do I want to make this a part of my life? Do I want to practice daily? Do I want to put time and energy into it so that then I can more fully enjoy those 9 holes and maybe even 18 holes? See, friends, it's not just a 1 hour commitment. We must engage and invite Jesus daily into our lives. We practice like that golfer to strengthen our muscles of faith, to empower our souls to know the joy more fully of our Lord. It's intentional. We engage Jesus prayerfully every day. We read the Scriptures. We strive in every way we can to walk in His ways. I love the words that Mary says here in verse 46. Did you hear these words of Scripture? I've never contemplated them in this way. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now consider that word with me a moment. To magnify the Lord. We know how a magnifier works, right? We learned about them as young kids, many of us. You get out that magnifying glass, you put it on a piece of paper, and you can light up the world, can't you? But not only that. Not only is there power in magnification, but the magnifier also does this. It makes larger the object that we place it before. And Mary says, I magnify not myself. I magnify not my something in life. I magnify not my circumstances or challenges or the junk that we face. No, Mary says, I magnify the Lord. Part of her ministry, part of her growth, is not dwelling so much on the hardship, the challenges of bearing the Christ child, but celebrating more fully the joy that is known in Him and living outside of herself and giving glory to the one who saved her. See, the Scripture tells us she went. She went to Elizabeth. She got up. She got busy in her faith. She shared the glory of what God was doing. She magnified God to the world around her. She shined the light on Him. You know, we have that choice daily. You know, just last Sunday, when I get it right, and let me tell you, as your pastor, I don't always get it right. I blow it at times. Don't we all blow it at times? But when I get it right, I more fully magnify the Lord. You know how I magnified the Lord last week? I went to get some fried chicken. We preachers like fried chicken. I don't know if you knew that or not. That was the first question they asked me on my ordination exam. Do you like fried chicken? We like it. So I went to Food Giant to get me some fried chicken, and I ordered a big old box of fried chicken, and I got the dark only. I like the dark a little better. The thighs and the legs, and you know, that's even cheaper. It's a couple of dollars less if you get the dark chicken only rather than both dark and white. They call that the mix, the dark and white. I ordered the dark only, and the little lady rang me up for the mixed. She wrote on the box, dark, but then she thought in her mind, well, everybody gets mixed, so I'm charging for the mixed. I said, now, isn't it a little cheaper if you get the dark only? She said, oh, yes, I made a mistake. But she couldn't fix it by herself. She had to call her manager, and this took several minutes. She called her manager. She apologized several times repetitively. I responded, that's fine, that's no problem. We'll get it fixed. The lady standing behind me, an African-American lady, rather large lady, eager to get some of that fried chicken like me, she said, you being so kind. And you know what she said next? She said, are you a minister? I said, yes, I am. She said, I could tell. I could tell. I got it right in that instance, friend, that I don't always get it right. But what she saw in my behavior was Jesus' love to another who had messed up. By holding the lady accountable, I wanted the problem fixed, right? Sure, we're not called to be doormats in the world as people of faith. We want to hold people accountable. But do so in a loving, pastoral, Christ-magnifying way as we be Jesus to the world around us. That's our role as Christians, to be Jesus. He said to us, you're my body. You're my hands. You're my feet. The world will know my love through you. Wow, that's evangelism, friends. That's magnifying the Lord when we so let our light shine and know His joy more fully. But may we never forget this, that it begins and ends our life of faith, our pursuit of joy. It begins and ends with Christmas. The first gift and the greatest gift of our faith. The gift of a Savior that came down to us to embody us and allow us to know His joy more fully. Do you hear the words of Mary? That she says here in verses 48 and 49, for she says, He has looked with favor upon me. You see, it's about not so much what Mary is doing, but what God has done for her. He has looked with favor upon mighty. And then in 49, the mighty one has done great things to me. You see, friends, before we can magnify the love of the Lord, before we can live out His joy in our life, we have to remember this. It's a gift. It's grace. It's love that came to us even before we had concept that we needed grace and love. That's the gift of Christmas. May we all know it more fully this holy season. And be conscious all the more in the spirit of Mary what God has done for us. And say in her voice, look what the mighty one has done for me. A child of grace that I may know His joy. To the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, will you join me now in